Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds. Today I would like to begin our program with an article which appeared in the New York Times on the 15th of August. The article was written for the New York Times by Natasha Singer, and the title is Computing Grads Cannot Find Work. Tech firms are embracing artificial intelligence coding assistance, reducing the need for entry-level software engineers. The job search has been one of the most demoralizing experiences that I have ever had to go through, so said Zach Taylor, who recently graduated from Oregon State University. Growing up near Silicon Valley, Manasi Mishra remembers seeing tech executives on social media urging students to study computer programming. The rhetoric was, if you just learn to code, work hard, and get a computer science degree, you can get six figures for your starting salary. Ms. Mishra, who is now 21, recalls hearing as she grew up in San Ramon, California. Those golden industry promises, though, helped to spur Ms. Mishra to code her first website in elementary school, to take advanced computing in high school, and major in computer science in college. But after a year of hunting for tech jobs and internships, Ms. Mishra graduated from Purdue University in May without an offer. I just graduated with a computer science degree, and the only company that has called me for an interview is Chipotle, Ms. Mishra said in a Get Ready With Me TikTok video this summer that has since racked up more than 147,000 views. Since the early 2010s, a parade of billionaires, tech executives, and even U.S. presidents have urged young people to learn coding, arguing that the tech skills would help to bolster students' jobs prospects as well as the economy. Tech companies promised computer science graduates high salaries and all manner of perks. Typically, their starting salary is more than $100,000, plus $15,000 for hiring bonuses and stock grants worth $50,000. Brad Smith, a top Microsoft executive, said in 2012 as he kicked off a company campaign to get more high schools to teach computing. The financial incentives plus the chance to work on popular apps quickly fed a boom in computer science education, the study of computer programming, and processes like algorithms. Last year, the number of undergraduates majoring in the field topped 170,000 in the United States alone, more than double the number in 2014, according to the Computing Research Association, a nonprofit that gathers data annually from about 200 universities. But now the spread of AI programming tools, which can quickly generate thousands of lines of computer code, combined with layoffs at companies like Amazon, Intel, Meta, and Microsoft, is dimming prospects in a field that tech leaders promoted for years as a golden career ticket. The turnaround is derailing the employment dreams of many new computing graduates and sending them scrambling for other work. Among college graduates ages 22 to 27, computer science and computer engineering majors are facing some of the highest unemployment rates, 6.1% and 7.5% respectively, according to a report from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. That is more than double the unemployment rate among recent biology and art history graduates, which is just 3%. I'm very concerned, said Jeff Forbes, who is a former program director for computer science education and workforce development at the National Science Foundation. Computer science students who graduated 3 or 4 years ago would have been fighting off offers from top firms, and now that same student would be struggling to get a job from anyone. In response to questions from the New York Times, more than 150 college students and recent graduates from state schools, including the University of Maryland, Texas, and Washington, as well as from private universities such as Cornell and Stanford, shared their experiences. Some said they had applied to hundreds, and in several cases, even thousands of tech jobs at companies, nonprofit organizations, and government agencies. The process itself can be arduous, with tech companies asking candidates to complete online coding assessments, and for those who do well, live coding tests and interviews. But many computing graduates said their months-long search job quests often ended in intense disappointment, or worse, companies ghosting them. Some faulted the tech industry itself, saying they felt gaslit about their career prospects. Others described their job search experiences as bleak, disheartening, or soul-crushing. Among them was Zach Taylor, 25, who enrolled as a computer science major at Oregon State University in 2019, partly because he had loved programming video games in high school. Tech industry jobs seemed plentiful at that time. Since graduating in 2023, however, Mr. Taylor said he has applied for 5,762 tech jobs. His diligence has resulted in 13 job interviews, but no full-time job offers. The job search has been one of the most demoralizing experiences I have ever had to go through, he added. The electronics firm, where he had a software engineering internship last year, was not able to hire him, he said. This year he applied for a job at McDonald's to help cover expenses, but he was rejected for lack of experience, he said. He has since moved back home to Sherwood, Oregon, and is receiving unemployment benefits. It is difficult to find the motivation to keep applying, said Mr. Taylor, adding that he was now building personal software projects to show prospective employers. Computing graduates are feeling particularly squeezed because tech firms are embracing AI coding assistants, reducing the need for some companies to even hire junior software engineers. The trend is evident in downtown San Francisco, where billboard ads for AI tools such as CodeRabbit promise to debug code faster and better than humans can. The unfortunate thing right now, specifically for recent college grads, is those positions that are most likely to be automated are the entry-level positions that they would be seeking, said Matthew Martin, who is U.S. senior economist at Oxford Economics, a forecasting firm. Tracy Camp, the executive director of the Computing Research Association, said new computer science graduates might be particularly hard hit this year because many universities were just now starting to train students on artificial intelligence coding tools, the newest skills sought by tech companies. Some graduates described feeling caught in an AI doom loop. Many job seekers now use specialized artificial intelligence tools like Simplify to tailor their resumes to specific jobs and to autofill application forms, enabling them to quickly apply to many jobs. At the same time, companies inundated with applicants are using AI systems to automatically scan resumes and reject candidates. To try to stand out, Audrey Roller, who is a recent data science graduate from Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts, said she highlighted her human skills, like creativity, on her job applications, which she writes herself, unassisted by chatbots. But after she recently applied for a job, she said, a rejection email arrived 3 minutes later. Some companies are using artificial intelligence to screen candidates and removing the human aspect, Ms. Roller, who is 22, said. It's hard to stay motivated when you feel like an algorithm determines whether you can get to pay your bills. Recent graduates looking for government technology jobs also report increased hurdles. Jamie Sporey, who graduated this year from Georgetown University, said she majored in computing because she loved the logical approach to problem solving. During college, she also learned about the environmental impacts of artificial intelligence and grew interested in tech policy. Last summer, she had an internship at the National Science Foundation, where she worked on national security and technology issues like the supply of critical minerals. She has since applied for more than 200 government, industry, and nonprofit jobs, she said. But recent government cutbacks and hiring freezes have made getting federal jobs difficult, she said. While artificial intelligence coding tools have made getting entry-level software jobs at companies harder. It's demoralizing to lose out on opportunities because of AI, said Ms. Berry, 22, who grew up in Chicago. But I think if we can adapt and rise to the challenge, it can also open up new opportunities for us. Prominent computing education boosters are now pivoting to AI. President Trump, who in 2017 directed federal funding toward computer science in schools, recently unveiled a national AI action plan that includes channeling more students into artificial intelligence jobs. Microsoft, a major computing education sponsor, recently said it would provide $4 billion in technology and funding for artificial intelligence training for students and workers. Last month, Mr. Smith, Microsoft's president, said the company was also assessing how artificial intelligence was changing computer science education. Ms. Mishra, the Purdue graduate, did not get the burrito-making gig at Chipotle, but her side hustle as a beauty influencer on TikTok, she said, helped her to realize that she was more enthusiastic about tech marketing and sales than software engineering. The realization prompted Ms. Mishra to apply cold for a tech company sales position that she found online. The company offered her the tech sales job in July, and she starts this month. Next, I'd like to read for you an article which appeared in a past issue of the Wall Street Journal, More Teachers Burn Out on the Job. This article was written for the Wall Street Journal by Matt Barnum. Student Behavior, Mediocre Pay, and Artificial Intelligence-Powered Cheating are taking their toll. Most instructors say cost isn't worth it. Students are showing up to school in much of the country this week. Their teachers are already demoralized and exhausted. Student behavior problems, cell phones in the class, anemic pay, and artificial intelligence-powered cheating are taking their toll on America's roughly 3.8 million teachers on top of the bruising pandemic years. The share of teachers who say the stress and disappointment of the job are worth it has fallen to 42%, which is 21 points lower than other college-educated workers, according to a poll recently by RAND, a nonprofit think tank. As recently as 2018, over 70% of teachers said the stress was worth it. In surveys and interviews, teachers are most often pointing to a startling rise in students' mental health challenges and misbehavior as the biggest drivers of burnout. In the RAND survey, student behavior was the top source of teachers' top stress. High school math teacher Corey Jarrell said that he saw student behavior deteriorate, yet his school grew more lenient in administering consequences. He also did not feel like teaching offered much opportunity to advance in his career. And then his district, Kansas City Public Schools, rolled out a new policy last year. Teachers could not give the students a zero for an assignment, even if they didn't turn it in. This was the final straw. When I got into teaching, my one thing was about learning and love of learning, Gerald said. In the end, it was less about the learning and more about babysitting. He left teaching last year. Teaching has long been a relatively low-paid profession that comes with job stability, a decent retirement, and a sense of purpose. More teachers no longer feel that is a good deal. Teacher exit rates reached new highs in the past 2 years, according to data from several states. In Texas, thousands more teachers left the classroom in 2022 and 2023, compared with the years before the pandemic. Teachers are coming into the new school year with the usual mix of excitement and jitters, but also newfound trepidation. With more teachers leaving and others burned out, schools are now struggling to address student challenges such as learning loss and chronic absenteeism. And like the burnout seen in many other professions recently, there is not a clear end in sight, say those who study the teaching profession and teachers themselves. Across multiple data points, we see that the health and the state of the teaching profession is at or near a 50-year low, said Matthew Kraft, a Brown University professor. Classroom stress. Jessica Faust, an elementary school special education teacher in Perrysburg, Ohio, says the scale of students' academic and behavioral challenges has pushed her to the brink of quitting. We obviously knew the pandemic would have an impact on children, but I don't think anybody was prepared for the size or how long-lasting the impact would be, she said. Faust started therapy and has worked to focus more on what she can control. She has also joined with many other special education teachers to lobby administrators for more support. She got some relief when her school added another special education classroom, making her workload feel more manageable for her, and feels optimistic now going into the new school year. Still, she is demoralized by criticism from politicians and from the media that teachers are indoctrinating students with various left-wing ideas. The perception is now that teachers work against parents, said Faust, and it's not the case. We truly want to be a team. In a recent Education Week poll, only 18% of public school teachers said they were very satisfied with their jobs, with an additional 46% saying that they were somewhat satisfied. The share of teachers who were very satisfied was lower than at any point between 1984 and 2012, the last pre-pandemic period in which the question was asked. Gina Dukes teaches Philadelphia high school students who aspire to become teachers themselves. They learn about educational theory, and they spend time teaching and mentoring younger students. Surveys show that most teachers would not recommend the profession to others now. Dukes aims to offer a realistic portrayal of the job. I try to teach from a perspective of, yes, it's not all sunshine and rainbows every day, but the impact you feel is incredible, she said. Despite frustrations, nearly 3 out of 4 educators today said they still are glad that they chose teaching as a career, according to the RAND survey. Pay and perks. Pay is another source of teacher stress. Average teaching salaries fell by 6% during 2019 and 2021, adjusted for inflation, and continued to lag behind most other professions. Peter Galamega, who is a high school English teacher in New Hampshire, said his son, a recent college graduate, is already making more money working in the medical devices industry than he is after 30 years of teaching. It's not a lucrative profession, he said. Meanwhile, teachers have largely not been able to access a perk that has opened up to many other college-educated workers, the option to work from home sometimes. There's no question that that changes the calculus among people who are considering teaching, said Melissa Arnold-Lyon, a professor at the University at Albany. Stephen Stasniak, who is a high school English and social studies teacher in New Haven, Connecticut, said this past year was unusually challenging. He was juggling many new responsibilities, planning events for the senior class, leading the search committee to find a new principal, and planning lessons from scratch for a journalism class he had recently started teaching. He has spent the summer trying to disconnect from work and has vowed to say no to taking on too many responsibilities this year. There's only so much you have of yourself to give, he said. Gerald, the former Kansas City teacher, now teaches as an operations analyst at an industrial design build firm. His new position is less intense, he said. The pay is comparable to teaching, but the job offers more opportunities for advancement. Shane Bergen, a spokesperson for the Kansas City School District, said the district's No Zeros policy, which had frustrated Gerald, is designed to ensure that a single zero doesn't have an undue effect on a student's grades. Instead, students receive a minimum of 40% for each assignment. We wish we had been able to address this teacher's concerns before they chose to leave the profession, he said. The following is from a column called The Ethicist and written by Kwame Anthony Appiah. This appeared in the New York Times Magazine on the 3rd of August. This column appears in the Times Magazine on ethical questions which come from readers. Should I blow the whistle on a hiring process biased in my favor? I have been out of work for 4 months now. I recently had an interview for a management level position in my field, during which the interviewer asked a number of questions regarding my marital status, parental status, and spouse's occupation. I have spent most of my career in management, and the questions are clearly inappropriate and at odds with civil rights protections. I did answer the questions because I knew the responses would be in my favor. I am a middle-aged guy whose spouse works remotely and whose son is in college. I'm aware of an internal candidate for the job, a younger mother of two school-aged children, and the interviewer made comments about divided responsibilities and time commitments. I kind of need this job, which raises two scenarios. In the first, I withdraw from the process. Should I notify the internal candidate of the legal violation? Because I suspect, although have not been confirmed, that the same questions were asked of hers. In the second, I accept the position. How should I deal with the other candidate who would be my subordinate, knowing that a likely EEOC violation tainted my hire? And additionally, should I notify the EEOC myself, regardless of whether or not I continue with this company? The name of the person who asked this question has been withheld. The response is, if you're thinking about taking action, you would be wise to talk with an employment lawyer. But the questions you mentioned plainly have no place in a job interview, and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's guidelines are explicit about this. Such questions may be regarded as evidence of intent to discriminate. Let's assume in any case that your suspicion is justified, that the company's questions did cross a line and did so not out of clumsy curiosity, but in a way that tilted the scales against the internal candidate, who was a younger mother with two school-aged children. Maybe, as you have reason to wonder, the interviewer pressed her on whether or not she would be able to handle the job with her divided responsibilities. This could well count as evidence of discrimination. Yet, if you got the offer, you still couldn't be sure that it was because you were judged the safe candidate. You don't actually know what happened in her interview or how management was weighing the candidates. Maybe you were always going to be the preferred pick anyway, for reasons that have nothing to do with family logistics. Suppose, however, that you are offered the job and it's clear that the process was wrongly spacked in your favor. The moral calculus gets thornier here. Is it right to accept a job you need and are qualified for if you know the offer was tainted by bias? Turning down such a position is an especially steep price for you to have to pay. The internal candidate would keep her job, even if she loses out on the better one she was hoping for. That's significant, but it's not quite the same as going without a paycheck altogether. If you were positive that you were offered the job because of unlawful discrimination, I would tell you to then decline and notify both the internal candidate and the EEOC what did happen here. The company should be held to account and made to reform its ways. Conference, conciliation, and persuasion, the usual EEOC route, happens only if someone calls out the wrongdoing. But right now, you don't have that certainty. So given this, I don't think you need to torch your own prospects. You may take the job if it is offered to you. Once you're a manager, you will treat your subordinate with the respect that she deserves. You don't owe her confession about your suspicions, even if suspicions are all you have. What you do owe her, however, and every colleague, is to push for a culture in the company where those questions are never asked of job applicants again. This is all the time we have for our program on careers for today. I hope you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, and I'm a volunteer reader. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.